So we are holding on Vav Amud Beis, third line from top. We mentioned yesterday, we started talking about the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, whether in some cases you may be able to get away with less than 3 years chazakah. By the way, there's also, we're going to see further in the Gemara, there's a third opinion, the Chachamim. So according to Rashi in the Mishnah and the Rashbam over here, those Chachamim are not actually present in the Mishnah, but we're going to see that Rav is going to point out that such an opinion exists. That you need 3 full years. That there's no getting away with 18 or 14 or whatever month. The Rashba understands it differently. The Rashba understands that actually in the Mishnah itself you have that opinion of the Chachamim. I was just giving the bit of background over here that we learned yesterday about the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, which we talked about in the Mishnah, whether with a sedei beis habaal you can get away with less than 3 years. So you have Rabbi Shmuel saying you can get away with 18 months, or Rabbi Akiva saying 14 months. The Gemara soon is going to present another opinion, the Chachamim, that says you need 3 full years. There's no shortcuts. And you have Rashi and the Rashbam on the one hand versus the Rashba on the other hand, whether in fact those Chachamim are one of the opinions in the Mishnah or whether we only know about it from what Rav is going to tell us in the Gemara.
In other words,
because the Mishnah says like this, that the Mishnah had said it's 3 years, but not miyom liyom. So does that mean that, that is the actual opinion, that does that mean, in other words, that it, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, that's a generic statement that the Stam Mishnah is saying that in certain cases you need less than 3 years, but how much less? Within that, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argue. So there is no opinion in the Mishnah, therefore, that says that in a Sedei Beis Habaal you need 3 full years. That will be Rav Skiddush later on in the Gemara. On the other hand, according to the Rashba, no, that statement in the Mishnah, Ve'enin Miyom Liyom, just means you don't have to be there every single day. Doesn't mean you have to be there every single day in this case of a Sedei Beis Habaal, because you don't actually work such a field every day for 3 years. But that's all he meant. You still do that. You still need 3 full calendar years, and then Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argue with that. Okay. So that's all background over here. So now we're gonna go on third line of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We mentioned yesterday in this connection we discussed the question: would Rabbi Akiva maybe hold that plowing the field is enough to establish chazaka? And we said that no. We said even according to Rabbi Akiva, you need something more than that, because otherwise, why would you need a month at the beginning and a month at the end? One day at the beginning, one day at the end ought to be enough. So now we're going to revisit that idea. Turn it up. Near Ene Chazaka, plowing the field does not constitute a Chazaka. The Yeshayimim Harez a Chazaka. But Yeshayimim, that yes, it does. Okay, so we have to ask Man Yesh Omrim, who is the Yesh Omrim over here? Now, usually, Hagoy Tabach points out, usually in the Gemara, Yesh Omrim means Rab Nassim. But in this case, the Gemara knew that it wasn't. In this case, the Gemara knew it wasn't. Now, it's not Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, obviously, because we established yesterday that neither one of them holds that near that plowing is enough. I'm Rabbi Chista Rabbi Acha. So Rabbi Chista says, yes, this is the opinion of Rabbi Acha in a Braisa. The Tanya, not a Shana Vazorah Beis. If you plowed the field without planting it, so you only plowed it for 1 year and then left it fallow for that year, which you would do, I guess, in order to rotate the soil, make it more fertile or whatever, and then you planted it the following 2 years, or Nora Beis Vazara Shana, or the other way around, you plowed it for two years and then planted for 1 year. Ain't a chazaka, then that's not a chazaka, because that's not the normal way of using it. And as we established yesterday, when it's not the normal way of using it, the owner of the field may not bother doing a machar, because he may figure you're not using it the way that people normally use their fields anyway. You're obviously demonstrating by that you yourself know it's not yours. Rab Acha Omer Harez Chazaka. Rab Acha, on the other hand, says, Rab Acha said, it is a valid chazaka. Now, Tosfos points out, Lav Davka, even Rab Acha would agree, if you plowed it for 2 years in succession without planting it, and only in the third year did you go and plant it, or the other way around, you planted it the first year, and then you only plowed it the next 2 years, even Rab Acha would agree that's not a chazaka, because that's not the normal way of doing things, and what would be the purpose of it? If you're plowing 1 year and leaving it fallow, fine, I can understand, you're doing it in order that it'll improve the crops for next year, you're not going to do that 2 years in a row.
Didn't we establish that it depends on if the neighboring fields have a similar cycle?
We did say, yeah, we said earlier that if it's a place, the Murray Buggy, yeah, where people in that area keep their fields fallow, right. But over here, we're not necessarily talking about that. Here, we're not getting into that detail. He's improvising. So then, yeah. But still, according to the Bacha, the fact that you're plowing it, which is preparing it for next year's crops, because let's say, you know, it's low-quality land, you need to leave it fallow sometimes, so then that's good enough. As long as you have, but again, according to Tosfos, your Bacha would say, fine, 2 out of the 3 years can be plowing, but they can't be 2 consecutive years. It can be 1 year plowing only, 1 year plowing and planting, and the next year plowing only. Rav Acha would accept that. Amar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi says, or Hagos Abach changes that to Amar Rav Acha, that it's a continuation of Rav Acha's statement, that he says, She'elis kogdoyle adur, I asked all the great chachamim of the generation, v'amrali nir hareza chazaka, and they told me that nir, that plowing, is can be a valid chazaka when it comes to a sdei abal. Which means, by the way, the Rashbam points out a little bit later in the discussion that in that case it would come out, unlike what we said yesterday, that according to what we said, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would require respectively 18 and 14 months to establish chazaka and a sdei beis abal. According to Rabbi Acha, since all you need is plowing, yeah, you could get away with 1 year and 2 days. Yeah.
Now, Rav Ashi is the fifth generation.
And
who's he asking?
It would mean that he asked the Chacham of his times. But if we change it to Amar Rav Acha, it means Rav Acha in the Braisa is informing us that that Nir Harez Chazaka, it's not his own opinion. He asked the Gdolei Ador, and they told him that. I don't know. Maybe
they were Chachmei Mishnah.
So. Okay, he was one of the Amidrashim. So, or all the ones he was able to get a hold of. I don't know. Maybe he tried to make an appointment with them and they weren't available. I don't know. Or maybe he lived after them. I don't know. I'm not sure it's clear when this Rav Acha lived. He may not have been at a time or place where he was able to talk with them. I don't know. Okay. Omer le Bibi le Rav Nachman, my time of demand to Omer near Havit Chazaka. So Taka, what's the reason? What's Rav Acha's or the Gdolei Ador of his times? What's their logical reason to say that Nir is a valid form of Chazaka? Because Loy Ovet Inish to Karivu Leilaare V'Shasik. Because it's not usual that a person is going to see that other people are plowing his field and then showing therefore a certain amount of bailus over it and be quiet and not be moicha. So yes, it's true, maybe it's not the full-fledged way of using the field, but still, you can't expect plowing a field is a very normal thing that only the owner of the field would do. You wouldn't normally expect that somebody is going to wander into somebody else's field and start plowing it. So therefore, it shows that he's exercising a certain ownership over it, and you ought to be mindful.
Just not limited to Bevar Sisson, this is everybody.
No, not Bevar Sisson, you're thinking of Bevar or Yashir.
Right, they were the Machbid.
But we're saying here just time. We don't give a time frame, so that's.
But that's what we're saying. That's enough. A person,
you know.
Because we're not saying again. We're not saying if you plow for 3 years in succession, or even 2 years in succession,
right.
You still need 1 year in between over there where you do a full agricultural cycle, plowing and planting and
right.
Harvesting and whatever. But at the beginning and the end, it's good enough to have that plus the plowing. Yeah. On the other hand, my time in demand, I'm a new loy habe chazaka. On the other hand, what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva who don't agree with that? They argue, fakir, meima omar, the owner may well think to himself, adraba, kol shiva b'shiva d'karbu, every splinter that they're plowing, la'ayoba, let him bring it in. In other words, let the guy gizunt ahead. Let him plow again until the plow splinters into pieces. Adraba, the more he's plowing, the more he improves my field. I have no reason to be moicha. Yeah. Rabbeinu Gershom has a different explanation of shiva, by the way. Shiva usually means a splinter. That's what brings the explanation that it means even if the plow splinters into pieces. Rabbeinu Gershom has a different understanding. He says that shiva is is a tool that they use after you plow and after you plant the seed. You have a certain kind of tool, like a kind of spade, I guess, or something that you use to cover up the seed so that they'll be completely covered with dirt and start growing. So therefore, Adidaba, let him go to all that trouble. Let him plow. Let him use a spade on it afterwards, and I'll be stand to gain from it. I have no reason to be moicha yet, as long as he's willing to do that work for me free. Shochol b'nei Pumnara l'Rav Nachman Baruch Chista. Fine. Well, the people of Pumnara one time sent a shaila to Rav Nachman Baruch Chista. Well, in Babel, yeah. Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu Rebbet, teach us, Nira have a chazaka, Eli have a chazaka. What's the bottom line? Is Nira chazaka like Rav Acha says or not? Amalahu, so he says, well, Rav Acha v'chol g'dele ador, Amri Nira reza chazaka. Nu, you have Rav Acha and all the g'dele ador of his time said that's a chazaka. It should be a chazaka. However, Amar Rav Nachman Vayitzchak, Rabusa Lamechshav Gavri. So Rav Nachman Vayitzchak says, so what? Is it a big thing to list a bunch of people? Very nice. So you have Rav Acha and you have the Gdol Adur of his time. I can find other authorities who say differently. Harav Shmuel B'Bavel, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva Be'eret Yisrael, Amri Nir Lo Yehav B'Chazaka. We have two Tanoim and two Amiroim who say, two in Eretz Yisrael, two in Bavel, who say it's not a Chazaka. And, yeah, Rabbeinu Gershom also points out, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva and Rav and Shmuel surely outrank, sort of like what you were saying before, they surely outrank the Kol G'dolei Ador that Rav Acha asked. Yeah. Okay.
Certain publications, G'dolei Ador, I mean, one thing.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah. Okay. So, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva Masnisini. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, we can see they hold that based on our Mishnah. Again, because we established yesterday, even Rabbi Akiva says you need a month at the beginning and a month at the end. That's much longer than you need for plowing. Obviously, he requires something more than that. Peir Zutta, like we said yesterday, that he requires at least that the crops start growing a decent amount, or that you can have time to grow a less important crop, like vegetables or whatever, but at least you need that, not just plowing. So there we see, well, yeah. So there we see that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva hold that. Rav Maihi, where do we see that Rav holds this? Like this. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Zu Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva. This that we're saying in the Mishnah, this concept that we say in the Mishnah, that you don't need full 3 years, that is only the respective opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Ava Chachamim Omrim, but the Chachamim say, Cheskasa Gimel Shanim Yom L'Yom. But the Chachamim say that it needs 3 full years, which again, this is what I was mentioning before, that the Rashba understands that to be the not an opinion that we have in the, not an opinion that we have. Or sorry, no, Rashi and the Rashbam understand that to be not an opinion we have in the Mishnah, but rather an opinion that Rav is informing us that's not in the Mishnah, but nevertheless it's the opinion of the Chachamim. That's the thing. The Rashi and the Rashbam understand when the Tanakhama says Eina Miyom L'Yom, he means something less than 3 years. How much less? Within that, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing how much less is enough. So it's not a machlokas, right? So you only have 2 opinions in the Mishnah according to them, not 3. According to the Rashba, you have three different opinions in Mishnah. The Chachamim of the Mishnah, when they say Einam Yom L'Yom, they don't mean it doesn't have to be 3 full years. They just mean it's day based abal. It's not something where crops are where the agricultural work to be done every day of the year. Therefore, as long as you're there during the normal agricultural times of the year, then you're good. And Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva disagree with that concept, and they say you don't even need 3 full calendar years. You just need 3 months, 12 months, 3 months, or 1 month, 12 months, 1 month.
Then we have the Chachamim.
So according to the Rashba, the Chachamim that Rav is mentioning over here are the very same Chachamim of the Mishnah. According to Rav and according to Rashi and the Rashbam, they're not. Anyway, but Rav says, and by the way, the fact that Rav is saying like that, implies that he agrees with those Chachamim. In general, when you have an expression like that, zu divrei, Rabbi Ploini, it's as much as to say, I don't agree with that. This Mishnah or Braisa or whatever it is the opinion of Ploini, but he's only a Das Yachid. The Das Rabbim is different. So, miyom liyom l'ma'uti mai, now when Rav says that it has to be miyom liyom, what does that come to exclude? Lav l'ma'uti nir, l'chora, that lav l'ma'uti nir deloy. L'chora it must be to exclude that plowing doesn't work. If you need full three years, then plowing doesn't work.
How is the exclusion?
Okay, so Tosfos asks the question. What does one have to do with the other?
Exactly.
Maybe you could say the Chachamim say you need 3 years for the reason we mentioned at the beginning of the Perek, because up to 3 years a person keeps his shtar, beyond that not. But maybe it has nothing to do with whether near works or not. So the Rashba explains that basically because if the expression that the Chachamim are saying, Cheskasa Gimel Shanim Yom L'Yom, itself implies that they're not going to accept anything less than a full agricultural cycle each year, not just new.
Right.
Yeah, so that answers that.
So you need time and you need...
Exactly. Shmuel Maihi. Next, where do we see that Shmuel says such a thing? Again, he says that at the end of the Mishnah, when Rabbi Shmuel, it's only Rabbi Shmuel over there, but anyway, says at the end of the Mishnah that if you have an orchard with various kinds of trees, and the different trees produce their fruit at different times during the year, then you can conceivably have chazakah can be accomplished within 1 year, because each one, you harvest one full crop from that tree during the same year. He says over there, you gathered in your grapes, the masak azesav, and you harvested your olives, the konasas kaitse, you brought in your dried figs, then presto, you have gimel shanim, because you have three different crops. But Shmuel says, do divrei Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Akiva, but the Chachamim argue with that. They say, no, it has to be all one type of crop. It can only work if he harvests three harvests of dates.
Why?
Because they hold you need full 3 years. Or if it's a vineyard, you need to actually harvest three harvests of grapes. So if it's olive trees, you need three full olive harvests, which means, in other words, 3 years. Again, each of these types only produces one crop a year. So we said at the beginning of the parish, because only up to three years, a person is careful with his shtar.
Yeah.
So therefore you need full three. Therefore, you need full 3 years. Within 3 years, you expect that.
What's the reason for Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael mistake? Can do it even within 1 year or even.
So we talked at the beginning of the parak. We talked at the very beginning of the parak that Rabbi Shmuel had held that you learn this whole concept. Where do you know the whole concept of 3 years of chazakah? Rabbi Shmuel had learned Hoche Usha, had learned it over there from Shor Amud. Shor Amud, you need three times, and then he becomes more. So the same thing, yeah. So yeah. And therefore we said that. Well, within that, we said over there that we have the machloikas, right. Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to a Shor HaMuad, whether it's enough to have, whether you can have three gorings on one day, or whether they need to be spaced out over 3 days. So in a similar thing over here, Rabbi Shmuel can hold that you can have the three parts of the chazakah be close together.
Yeah, but here, the Chachamim seem to be saying that you need the same crop for 3 years.
Yeah.
If you have two different crops on an amount of time of 3 years, what would be wrong with
that? So then nothing, but the point is then you need a separate harvest of each crop. Within each crop itself you need 3 years, yeah.
But that's my question. Why?
Because you need you're making a chazakah on the whole piece of property. If you only make a chazakah on one part of it, we're gonna actually see in the next piece of Gemara about a somewhat related but different concept where there can be cases where you only had the fruit from some of the trees and you still machzik at all of them. But whether there's certain specifications in that case, we'll see in a minute. But we'll see soon. But if you bought a piece of land where half of it is a vineyard and half of it is an olive grove or whatever, yeah, you're gonna have to make a chazakah on the grapevine part, and you're gonna have to make a chazakah on the olive tree part. Otherwise, we learned earlier in the parak, you could even have you missed out making a chazakah on one base roiva, one little area of the field, 10 by 10 amas, and you haven't made a chazakah on that one, and the other guy can be ma'ara that he never sold that to you.
But you are able to rotate a crop and do wheat 1 year, barley the next year, and then wheat again. And
yeah, the pastures. Yeah. As long as you use the whole thing. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So the question becomes my benai. Okay. So we have Rav and Shmuel both saying that you have the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah, where it's possible in certain cases to make a chazakah in less than 3 years. However, the Chachamim disagree with that. What's the actual difference between how Rav is putting it and how Shmuel is putting it? It sounds like they're arguing on something. Now, Tosfos points out, I mean, the Gemara could easily answer that since Shmuel is quoting the Chachamim as saying that you need, for example, three grape harvests or whatever, fine, very easily you could have that within less than 3 years. You buy the thing towards the end of the season, the grapes are almost ready to be harvested, then you have two more years, so there you have 2 years and a couple of months. Sounds like according to Shmuel would be enough, whereas according to Rav, not. The Gemara does not want to bring up that point because, the reason why is because Tosfos says is because the assumption is when he says gimel diris or gimel b'tziris or whatever, it implies the full agricultural cycle that led to that gdiro or b'tzira or whatever. So therefore, it really would have to be 3 years. So therefore, my benayu. So what's the practical difference between them? Amar Abaye dekel naira is the benayu. The difference between them would be in the case of a dekel naira. What is a dekel naira? The Rashbam gives two explanations. One is it means a naira in the sense of young. It's a young palm tree. It produces fruit it produces fruit more often than once a year. You have over here in parentheses, it's a shalosh pavim bashana, not necessarily is that part of the girsa that the marshal takes it out, but still, according to that first explanation of Dekel Naira, yeah, you can well have that you get three crops of dates out of it in less than 3 years. Well, according to Shmuel, that's fine. You went through three full agricultural cycles with it, but it happened to be less than three calendar years, and you're good. Whereas according to Rav, that wouldn't work. According to Rav's understanding, the Chachamim, that still wouldn't work because you need three full years miyom liyom. Then the Rashbam brings a second explanation that Rabbeinu Hananel says, Dekel Naira, Naira is not Meloshin Yang, but Meloshin Na'ar, Meloshin shaking off. So it means it's a type of palm tree where the fruit falls off the tree before it's fully ripe. And then, like, you have to, it ripens on the ground, or you have to put it on mats or whatever to ripen after it came off the tree.
The Dekel Naira Machlokes implies that on other things they agree. Is that what we're saying?
We're saying, yeah. In general, Rav and Shmuel would both understand the Chachamim to say you need 3 years. Okay. But in the case of Dekel Naira, you can have, yeah.
Both don't agree with
Rabbi Shmuel. Right. Or Rabbi Kiva. Yeah. So anyway, according to the second explanation of Rabbeinu Hananel, Dekel Naira is a tree, is a type of palm tree where the dates don't grow to full maturity on the tree. They drop off the tree sometime before they're fully mature, and then they ripen there, on the ground. Well then, according to Shmuel, you need three gediris. That doesn't work then. You haven't harvested the fruit three times from this tree. You're going to actually have to somehow get the fruit to stay on the tree long enough to actually make a harvest of it three times. Whereas according to Rav, all you need is 3 years. Good, you have 3 years.
So we don't agree with Kol Gdelia there?
No, so we disagree with Rabacha's Kol Gdelia. Well, that was a separate thing. These are two different things. Well, I mean, we're
just establish that Shmuel.
Right. So therefore we say, yes. In the end, we're saying that Kol Gdei Lador, we don't agree with them. We go according to Rav, the near is not a chazaka, and Bechlal, nothing less than 3 years is a chazaka, except maybe in the case of Dekel Naira, according to Shmuel.
Do we still have this type of tree right now?
I don't know about palm trees, but for example, that's how bananas are grown. They don't pick bananas after they're ripe and spoil on the tree. They pick them when they're still green, and they ripen in transit.
Yeah, but that's a commercial reason, isn't it?
It's not just commercial reasons that they spoil on the way. It's if you allow them, the way they grow is if they remain on the tree until they're ripe, they'll actually spoil on the tree.
Right.
So it's not just for commercial reasons. It's practically speaking, even if you had a banana plant of your own, you wouldn't be able to leave it to ripen on there. You would have to pick them while they're green. So I guess this is a similar kind of thing. Then we said in the Mishnah, Abra Bishmal Bistei Alovim, we said that Rabbi Shmuel had said that in the case of an orchard of trees, as long as it's a different kind of trees, you're able to make a chazaka within 1 year because you harvest three different crops from it during 1 year. Grapes, olives, and grapes, olives, and figs, let's say, and therefore each of them ripens at different times, and therefore within 1 year you already had a chazaka. We just established that the Chachamim disagree with that according to both Rav and Shmuel. However, Amar Abaya, midi Rabbi Shmuel nishma l'rabbanan. However, based on what Rabbi Shmuel is saying, we can also deduce something of what the Chachamim would hold about a related case. What do we have, in other words? We said that Rabbi Shmuel is saying, you had an orchard with three different stands of trees in it, in three different areas. So as long as you do chazaka on one of them one part of the year, another one another part, another one another part, then you have a chazaka. The Chachamim disagree with that, we said. However, the Chachamim will agree that there can be a case where you make a chazaka on only some of the trees in the area of all one type, let's say, and nevertheless you'll have accomplished chazaka on all of them. They're arguing what the Chachamim hold, right? Both of them are saying Zudri Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, Ava Chachamim Oimer, right? So we can understand that the Chachamim will agree if we're not talking about three different kinds of crops. If we're talking about one kind of crop where each one takes 1 year to mature. However, you don't necessarily need, according to the Chachamim, that you consumed the fruit from all the trees in order to make a chazaka on the entire plot of land. You could conceivably be able to have only produce from some of the trees each year and still establish chazaka on the whole thing. Let's see. We can learn like this. Suppose that you have a piece of land which has 30 trees in it. They're planted with the spacing of 10 trees per besa. We learned in the previous parak that when you first plant trees, etzernatiyas, you plant them usually at that ratio, 10 to each besa. We said over there that young trees don't need that much area to their roots don't spread out that far. They don't need that much they don't need that much nutrients.
And we calculated the diameter.
We calculated the diameter. Yeah, we went through that whole yeah. So we talked over there also about Esenatius Labesa comes up in other contexts in Halacha, for example, that's considered a place where Halacha Moshe Mishina, you can plow the whole area in order to improve the soil for those trees all the way up to Rosh Hashanah the year before Shemitah. You don't have to stop Pesach of Shavuos time as you would ordinarily. Yeah. So if you have 10 trees planted per Besa and you have a total of 30 trees, so you have 3 Besa. So suppose now you went and ate the fruit from 10 of the trees in 1 year, 10 in the next year, and another 10 during the third year, then that would constitute a chazaka, as if you used the whole field.
So you left the other fruit to rot?
No. We'll see in a second what the situation is.
Wait. Other
that's what we're going to get to. Wait. But before we get into that, by the way, real quick, the Rashbam talks about it has to dafka be 10 trees per besa, no more, no less. Because if it was more, the trees are too crowded. The trees are too crowded. That can't be considered a plantation of trees anymore. That's more like a forest. Again, that's not kidemachta ki'inshi. That's not the normal way in which people use their land. Therefore, it wouldn't count. And if it was less, too sparse, that you've made a chazaka on the entire land. Exactly.
What's the margin of error?
There isn't. It has to be exactly 10, no more, no less. Tosfos also talks. Actually, the Rashbam gives another explanation as well, which is that, as we'll see as we go through the sugi over here, that another possibility he says is because if you plant them 10 to a besa, sure, originally as Matthias, that's fine, but later on, eventually when they're mature trees, you're going to uproot some of them because we learned before in that same sugi before about all those calculations and all, we said that once they're mature trees, you only have 3 per besa.
So this is
a nursery kind of.
What's
the base saw? A base saw is 50 by 50 amas. 50 by 50 amas, about 80 by 80 feet, give or take.
That would be about this root width.
No, it's
a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
But just a little bit, yeah. 10 trees. Because I mean you could plant 10 trees in this room.
But they'd be very crowded, so you wouldn't plant them that
bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anyway. Now, how do we get that from a Bishmal statement in the Mishnah? Lav mi omer Bishmal chad peira haba chazaka l'kulu peira. How do we get that? This idea that you can consume the fruit of ten out of the 30 trees each year, and even according to the Chachamim, that works to establish chazaka on all of them. Because don't we see that a Bishmal said chad peira haba chazaka l'kulu peira? That he says, for example, that when you harvest the olives, then that constitutes 1/3 of the chazaka that you need for the entire field. Even though the rest of the field is not growing olives, it's growing some other crop. It's as if at that point you made 1/3 of your chazaka on the entire field, and then when you have the grapes, then it's 2/3, and then when you have the figs, then it's then it's the whole thing, 3/3.
So the
only thing is he's arguing it can be different crops. The Chacham are saying it has to be the same crop. Hachanami, havo chazak, hachanami, hani, havo chazak alahani, v'hanu havo chazak alahani. Same idea over here. When he made a chazaka the first year on 10 out of the 30 trees, we can consider it that it also includes the other 20 trees. And the same thing the second year and the same year the third year. However, now comes the caveat. Now comes the fine print. First of all the supplies only if the other trees did not produce fruit those other 2 years. Not so obvious. If they didn't produce, in other words, so then it works.
But if those other trees, it's not a general case.
But there is such a case. Again, the same as in Rabbi Shmuel.
Would disagree with that?
We're saying the Chachamim would agree with it.
Well, are you saying that they don't bear fruit only once every 3 years?
Okay, wait. So that's Rabbi Hanan who explains that. Hold on a second. Let's let first let's look at the simple meaning of the Gemara. That you have, for example, the first year 10 of the trees produced fruit, and for whatever reason the other 20 didn't. Let's say there was a bad weather or whatever. The next year another 10 produced fruit and so forth. Yeah, that
all the trees are covered
until all the trees are covered for different years. Tosfos asks on, so that's the thing. Tosfos says, I mean, that you couldn't have such a thing wouldn't happen in 1,000 years. That punks happen that way. So therefore, Tosfos prefers Rabbeinu Hananel's explanation. How could such a thing be? You have a type of fruit that you have a type of tree that's mentioned in a number of places in Shas called Bnos Shuach. Bnos Shuach, apparently there's some type of figs, although I've seen different possibilities of what they are exactly. Whatever it is, the Mishnah in Shavuos says they have a 3-year growth cycle. It takes them 3 years to mature. So therefore, you can have
figs. It sounds like figs take a long
time. Not figs in general. This is a certain type of figs. There's a certain species of figs. The Gemara, and I think in Avodah Zarah, says that they're white figs. I don't know. Whatever they are, there's some type of fruit that takes 3 years to mature. Yeah.
And it couldn't be like instead of plantation, where you planted three different. Let's say the first tree matures the first year, then the second year, then the third year. You have 30 trees in the parameter. But
well, they wouldn't be Natius after all that time. That's the thing. By the time the first trees were old enough to, first of all, you have issues of Orla, but even if we discount issues of Orla anyway, but you also have, by the time the trees are that old that there's no problem of Orla, and that you have, you know, the third set of trees is 2 years younger than the first set, they're going to be too big to be planted 10 per base saw anyway. They're too big to be for a nursery like that. Right.
So then you need
to uproot some of them, yeah. So therefore, that's the thing. If we understand it to be talking about Benos Shuach, fine. So you have different. Some of the Benos Shuach are already 1 year. So that's that. Yeah, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Hananel. Another one. Some of them are ready the next year. Some of them the year after that. So therefore that works. Interesting, by the way, about the name of them, Benos Shuach. In Medrash Rabbah, it talks about, you know, you have the different opinions what the tree was from the Eitz Hadas. You have also Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Medrash brings over there one opinion that in the Gemara also is that it was figs, because we see by Yisbur Alei Se'ena afterwards, what do they use to cover themselves with fig leaves? So why after that? Because that's the tree that they did the Aveira with. So then the Medrash says that it may have been Benos Shuach, and therefore they were renamed Benos Shuach, Shuach Meloshon, a pit, like Bo Shiach HaMaira, because it brought a depression into the world. That's, yeah. Anyway.
Still allowed to eat
it. You're allowed, of course, yeah. Okay. So first of all, it has to be then again that the other 20 trees didn't produce fruit. Again, if we understand that it's Benos Shuach, it's easy to understand. The other 20 are not ripe, but it's not ripe enough yet. But if the other trees produced fruit and this guy decided not to eat it, no, because that's not a valid chazaka. Obviously, if I catch, he's too afraid to make a fully valid chazaka. Therefore, that doesn't work.
So he has to eat from every single tree?
No. So every single one that produced ready
that's
to
produced.
Eat fruit. Yes, that produced ready to eat fruit. Yeah. V'hu de bazi bazuzi. However, this also only works only if, furthermore, if bazi bazuzi. What does that mean? The Rashbam and most Rishonim understand that to mean only if the 10 trees that he had every year were scattered out throughout the whole field. If you have, for example, let's say if he only ate from the 10 trees in this zone of the field, and then the next year this zone, and then the next year this zone, that wouldn't work.
So we just said now from each tree. Now we're saying
no. We're not saying from each tree. We're saying the 10 trees that produced fruit this year and he ate it have to be scattered among all the 30 trees. It has to be roughly three per base saw, more or less.
But if they are scattered, all of them are not...
Again, you have one big piece of land of three base saw that contains 30 trees in it.
Right.
We're saying the first year you have this, bunch of 10 trees scattered out throughout the whole area, spread out throughout
here,
the whole area.
Here,
all equally scattered, yeah,
yeah.
Throughout the whole field.
So
only then does it work.
He could be selling
it. He could be whatever. You do with it what a balabas would normally do with his food.
Yeah.
The Rambam has a whole different understanding of bazi bazuzi. He says it means like this. If the rest, this that we said, that apiko v'loi ochal, when would we say it's not a chazaka? Only if bazi bazuzi meloshin boizes him, like other people went and grabbed the food. If the reason why he didn't eat the rest of it is because other people went and grabbed whatever else grew, then that wouldn't be a valid chazaka, because what are you letting other people into your field for? They're obviously, on the other hand, if he voluntarily decided that I'm only going to eat from these 10 trees and I'm going to leave the fruit on the other trees, yeah, let's say to rot or whatever, according to the Rambam, that would still be a valid chazaka. Well, that's the, according to him, that's what the Gemara means. So in other words, so this that hey, so in other words, according to the Rambam,
Shuach being a three-year crop,
it doesn't have to be Benoit Shuach. In other words, according to the Rambam, right?
Okay.
It would be
so
more general.
So
in other words, this according to the Rambam, the Hu de Bazi Bazuzi would be modifying the last part. When would we say that if the trees produced fruit but he didn't eat it, it's not a chazaka? Only if Bazi Bazuzi. In other words, according to the Rashbam and everybody else, what it means is you need two factors in order to for it to be a chazaka. You need that you ate all of the produce that was available. If there was any that you didn't eat, then it's not a chazaka. Second of all, that produce that was available has to be scattered out throughout the field. The Rambam does agree with the scattering part, by the way, but he says it's like this. It does have to, it's true. The trees do have to be scattered. It's true if they're all in one zone of the field, that wouldn't work. However, within that, it's one or the other. Either that you voluntarily chose to either that Parshat only 10 of the trees produced fruit this year, or even if more of them produced fruit, if you voluntarily decided to only pick from 10 of them and leave the other 20 of them on the trees.
So Bazi
would mean if other people came into the field and started taking fruit off the trees, and that's why you didn't eat it, then it wouldn't be a chazaka.
If it could prove that you've eaten exactly that amount from exactly...
You'd have Adim. It would be, you'd have to have Adim, of course.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Okay. Now another din. That since we're talking about chazaka on trees, so now we're going to talk about a somewhat related.
Oh, wait,
concept.
By the way,
yeah.
If you ate everything every year, you'd be fine. All
of course, then for sure. Well,
yeah. Just try to point that out.
Or
make sure I'm
saying
it right. Yeah.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about a related din. Actually, according to the Rashbam, it's not really that closely related because, you know, we talked about at the beginning of the parak, there's at least four different meanings of chazaka in halacha. Up until now, we've been talking, for the most part, about chazaka as in cheskas shalosh shanim, cheskas raya. Now, according to the Rashbam, we're going to be talking about chazaka as in one of the three methods of kinyan of karka. You have kesef, shtar, and chazaka. According to the Rashbam, the chazaka we're going to be talking about is that type of chazaka. How you acquire land in the first place. Tosfos argues with that, among other things, because then in that case, what is this belong? Why does this piece of Gemara B'chol belong over here? And therefore, they understand that we're talking about regular, the same kind of chazaka as we've been talking about until now. Cheskas shalosh shanim. Okay. So, suppose you have. The Rashbam says, let's say, for example, you have two people who bought a field from one person. One person made a chazaka on the trees, chazaka as in, the type of chazaka that creates a kinyan. So he made a chazaka on the trees. Ate fruit from the trees, let's say. The Rashbam says you don't even need, for example, you don't even need to eat the fruit from the trees. You have, for example, that you dug around the trees, for example, again, to improve the around the roots or whatever. And the other one made a chazaka on the karka. What happens? Now, normally, the usual rule is that when you sell somebody trees in your property, usually we learned this in the previous parak, we're going to discuss it more extensively later on in the Masechta, that normally you sell a certain amount of karka together with them. If you sell at least three trees, then automatically a certain amount of karka goes with them. If you sell one or two, so we said over there that we talked over there, and we're going to talk later in the Masechta, that it's considered that you bought all the land under the trees, meaning under the foliage
right
of the trees, as well as between them, as well as around each tree, enough space for a person who's going and gathering the fruit to walk around with his basket on his side. That's if you sold three trees. If you sold one or two, yeah, it's basically an easement. Yeah.
You actually own that calca.
Yeah, you completely own it. But over here, when you sold the thing to begin with, where you sold one person land and the other person the trees, does the one who got the trees automatically get some part of the land or not? So Amar Rav Zvid Zekonei Lonis Zekonei Karka. Rav Zvid says, okay, one of them only gets the trees, meaning he's not entitled to any karka, even if there were three trees. even though normally, again, with three trees, there's karka, but here you're selling it to two different people at the same time. So so just as the one who made the chazaka on the karka, the one who bought the karka and made the chazaka on it, is able to say, as we're going to say on Omid Beis, that, look, I have no rights to any part of your trees. Well, by the same logic, you don't have any rights to my part of to my part of the land.
What was the question? Is this feasible?
None of it's feasible. Of course you can sell. You can do it. No, of course you can do whatever you want. The question is, if you're selling at the same time to two different people, you're selling one the cow can, and you're selling the other one the trees, the one who you sold the trees to, is he automatically entitled to any part of that character? Do we say that you reserved a certain part of the character for him to have along with his trees, because trees need character around them, or not? Or do
what
we say...
my intention?
Basically, yeah.
In other words, if I say clearly I'm selling just the tree, just the karka, saying halacha wouldn't necessarily mandate that the Baal Elam would get land.
Right, exactly.
Just, okay.
Yeah.
Of course, if you have three trees with a certain proximity, then you do own the land.
No, that's, again, according to the Rashbam, we're talking about normally, if you retain ownership of the land and you're selling somebody three trees in it, automatically that means you're selling him some land as well. But here you're not retaining the land either.
You're selling
the land to one person, the trees to another.
You have land leases.
Right.
And land leases doesn't necessarily mean that the building on top that owns the land. You don't
right.
necessarily get land with it just because you have a structure on it.
I wasn't asking,
is that feasible? It was just saying,
it's just asking, what happens over here? If it wasn't specified, is the one who owns the trees entitled to any karka? Yeah. Sort of Zvid says, no, the one who has the trees has only the trees, no karka. Now, it is true he doesn't have to go and cut down his trees. The owner of the karka can't tell him, well, I don't need your trees over here, get them out of here. As long as they're growing, he's entitled to keep them over there. But if they ever dry up, for example, if they ever dry up or whatever, he would not be allowed, according to the Zvid, to plant new trees in their place. He was only entitled to the trees themselves, not even to the land underneath the trees themselves.
Would he? You think he would be paying rent to the
No, he owns the trees outright.
But he has to plant them somewhere.
They're already planted. They're already in the ground.
So because if you buy the building and you buy the land, then you would be paying him for the
So it works
different then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maska for a papa. So a papa asks on that, well, how does that work then? Imkain, ein lo labali lonis b'karka klum. In that case, if you're saying that the owner of the trees has no rights to the karka at all, lemale ba karka labali lonis akari lonis shkel vizu. So why can't the owner of the land just tell the owner of the trees, uproot your trees and take them away? Now, according to the Rashbam's understanding of it, Rav Papa is not necessarily disagreeing with Rav Zvid's understanding of it, that as long as the tree is still alive, that he's allowed to keep it over there. All he's saying is that are you telling me that if the tree dries up, he has the right to tell him, get your trees out of here, remove the wood, and don't plant new trees over here? I don't necessarily agree with that concept. According to many other Rishonim, actually, Tosfos discusses it, and a number of other Rishonim do as well, that no, what Rav Papa is actually saying to Rav Zvid, if you're going to argue that way, that the owner of the trees has no rights to the karka, then right now, even when the trees are still alive, the owner of the karka should have the ability to say by your svara, Rav Zvid, the owner of the karka should have the ability to say the owner of the trees, get your trees out of here.
You're encroaching
on my property. Uproot your trees and remove them.
But you bought it with the knowledge that he's encroaching.
It doesn't matter. Still, if you're going to argue that he has no rights, fine, you bought the trees. It means you're entitled to take those trees and plant them someplace else. You don't have the right or you can chop them down for firewood, or you can uproot them and replant them on your property, whatever. I don't have to have them on my property.
It's like a nursery situation.
Yeah.
You take your truck, you take your trees that way.
Yeah.
And he's going to do something totally new.
So you think it's not a possibility for there to be the concept, not just,
That's what a papa is arguing, right?
I'm saying it's an impossibility.
Yeah, basically.
For there to be two ownerships.
Ella omar a papa. So the papa says, no, you can't understand it that way. You rather have to say, ze kone lonis v'hafsi karka. No, you have to say, therefore, that the one who bought the trees automatically gets along with it, hafsi karka. Vezekon chatzi karka, and the other one gets chatzi karka. Now, the Rashbam says chatzi doesn't necessarily mean 50%.
Yes.
It means, again, the amount of space that the trees need. Again, the tachtein or beinein, the figure that we were mentioning before when you sell three trees. Or he says maybe another possibility is let's say all the land is needed by the trees. Let's say you have exactly three to a base saw, where according to our calculations before, all the land within that base saw is needed by the trees. Okay, you can't be entitled to all the land, otherwise the other guy has nothing, but you're entitled to half the land. The Rambam understands it more generally. The Rambam says in general it means, it does mean literally chatzi, exactly what it sounds like. The fact that the guy sold the trees to you implies that he sold along with it half the karka. And the other guy, therefore, is only entitled to half the karka. That's according to the
Rambam. I sell you three trees and a 200-acre property.
No, of course.
We're talking about
the Sech Beis Sa. We're talking about within that area where the three trees are. Yeah. But again, this is all talking about.
Who was the other shit? I'm sorry.
The other shit is the Rashbam. That's the Rashbam. Derech is a separate question. Actually, we're talking about over here what's needed for the tree itself, not necessarily rights of way in order to be able to get to the trees. That's
so
a different. That's a different.
Run
discussion.
Out the right of way for even more.
Maybe. I mean, that's going to be the next thing we're going to talk about is actually that relates to a machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim that we're going to have in the next parak. We're going to have that machlokas a couple of times. Called mocher ba'ayin yofa mocher or mocher ba'ayin ra mocher. When you sell somebody, when you sell something to somebody else, are you automatically including whatever? Are you leaving for yourself? So let's actually learn the next piece of Gemara and we'll see. rather than explaining, rather than me trying to explain it in my words, let's see the actual words of the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off like this: Pshita mocha kauka b'shir ilonis lefanav. Now, it's obvious to say that if we have a situation, till now we were talking about you sold the karka and the trees to two different people. Now what about the other way? Now what about if you sold the karka and you kept the ilonos, you kept the trees, then yeshlei karka. Then there's no question that you kept your, then there's no question you kept yourself some karka, in the sense even that therefore if the trees that you have left dry up, you're allowed to plant other ones. So you have karka to that extent. Even according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that when you sell ba'ayin yofa, which means, so we have a case like this. So later on in the next parak, we're going to learn a couple of cases. One of them is, for example, you sold a house to somebody. Now, inside the house, let's say you have a burr, a pit, or you have a dus, which is similar to a pit, but it's an above ground structure within the house itself. So what happens? They're not included in the house. They're considered unless specified in the Steinmechira, because they're considered an entity unto themselves. They have a name of their own.
They're fixtures.
They're fixtures, kind of. Yeah, but
I guess in New York State they would be considered part of the house.
So we'll learn in the next paragraph. The fourth and fifth.
The burr, I don't get. I mean, how do you remove the burr?
You don't remove it, but the point is, you're keeping the burr. You're keeping ownership of the burr. You sold the other guy the house, but you still have rights over the burr. Now, though, do you have an easement there to go get to the burr?
It's kind of like, I'm selling you the house, so I'm keeping the bathtub. We're going to go every day to the bathtub. Just rub up.
No, but I'll
make sure.
Besides that, also a bird and a dus are not necessarily necessities of a house. Not every house has a bird in it. Not every house has a dus in it.
Yeah.
Basically, we're going to do the fourth, fifth, and sixth prakim of Amasechta are going to be all about this kind of thing. You sell X, what does it include? Does it automatically include Y, or does it not automatically include Y? We're going to have blot upon blot dealing with these kinds of things, as far as metalflin, as far as houses, as far as boats, as far as all kinds of stuff. Okay. So, Rabbi Akiva holds over there that you sold the house, you reserved the burr for yourself because you didn't include it in the shtar and therefore it's not considered to be included. Rabbi Akiva would say, fine, you own the burr. However, you don't automatically own a right of way to get to the burr. You're going to have to buy that from him. You're going to have to buy that from the guy. Why? Because he holds mocha ba'ayin yofa mocha. You sold means you sold ba'ayin yofa. You included the maximum amount possible. Fine, you didn't include the burr because the burr is an entity unto itself. But you included the right of way that would go to the burr.
Perfect. The machlokes of mocha ba'ayin yofa is regarding a house, and a burr is correct?
Right.
And
that's one example.
And Rabbi Akiva says, buying Yafet.
Buying Yafet means that you, means fine, Rabbi Akiva says, you didn't sell the burr, but you sold the right of way to get to the burr. You sold the easement that would have been used
to
get to, and therefore you're going to have to fly or buy a new easement from him or whatever. Yeah. That's Rabbi Akiva. And the Chachamim, they disagree, and they say, Mocha ba'ayin ra, Mocha, and therefore, automatically, if you reserve for yourself a burr, automatically you keep the easement. Okay. Now, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds Mocha ba'ayin yafa Mocha, hani mila gabe burr v'dus, he would say, though, if that only applies to things like a burr and dus, because they don't weaken the land. The buyer of the house, or it doesn't have to be a house for that matter, it could be a chot or a field or whatever, is not going to tell you get rid of your burr. It's not causing him any hezek. He can go plant right up to the edges of the burr if he wants. So therefore the mocher may not have any reason to think that he should hold back any character for himself, any easement to it. Aval ilonis, the kamach hashibara, but when it comes to trees which weaken the land in a number of ways, they take nutrients out of the soil, the roots go and get in the way of plowing, as we learned in the previous perek. Also Rabbeinu Gershom also adds that the branches and leaves overshadow the ground and therefore prevent rain from falling through sun also, yeah. So all of those things. Then we say if you kept for yourself the trees, there's no question that you obviously knew that you're holding back for yourself a certain amount of karka, precisely so that the other guy can't object and say, I want you to get your trees out of here as soon as possible.
A very generous seller. Only if it affects you negatively will I keep that negative part. But if it's fine for you, then I'll give over my right to get there.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So the Eloi Shire, because we have to say that, because otherwise, if he didn't leave anything behind, then right away the guy would have the ability to tell him, uproot your trees and go. The fact that the guy has a good heart. Maybe he does, but that's not relevant over here. The point is, why is it if I'm keeping myself trees in your property, I know full well that the trees are gonna be causing you a certain amount of hezek. I know that you would have if you owned the karka around those trees or underneath them or whatever, you would immediately tell me, get your trees out of here. They're causing me a hezek. Anything I plant underneath them isn't gonna grow well, whatever. The fact of the matter is I kept myself the trees. Automatically, that must mean I had to have kept myself the karka, precisely so that you don't have the ability to make such an objection against me.
Karka surrounding the trees.
Karka surrounding the trees.
It's actively being mazik your field. That's when he kept it in order to protect himself from having the theoretical kind of
right. According to that, yeah.
But the fact that if that didn't need a derech wouldn't have been as obvious.
Right. Yeah.
And Rebekah, in fact,
says he did that. Yeah.
And why the distinction?
Well, that's the distinction because
active hezek versus. Passive hezek?
Well, not even passive hezek. The burr is not even a passive hezek. There's no reason to think that whether I have a right of way to that burr or not, the guy is not going to tell me, I don't want your burr over here. Fill it up because it's harming me. It's not harming him in any way. Well, not only it doesn't grow, but
the fact that you have traffic does affect you negatively. And
that's a hot thing. You were talking about
a field. I don't want people in my field.
Okay, but you knew when you bought the field that there was a burr over there. So unlike a tree where the hezek, any time I want to plant under that tree, it's going to cause a hezek to the plants over there with a burr is not causing a hezek to anything I plant around it. I can plant all the way to the edge of the burr.
Of course.
I think the argument the right being able to get it.
Well, that's what we're saying is because he has no reason to be worried about that the other guy is going to require him to remove his burr. Therefore, he doesn't. Therefore, buying yafa meicher. So therefore, he goes and sells everything and doesn't take into consideration.
They're presupposing what your thoughts were when you made the sale, and they're saying that's what everybody would do. The problem with the burr that I have is that I wanted to buy this acre field, and you've got this big burr there. And
But when we bought the field in the first place, we measured it, and we measured it, and we found that the area is 1 acre minus the berth.
Right. Okay.
You bought 1 acre, the total area,
yeah.
It doesn't factor in, Okay. So that part is obvious. Another part that's also obvious is Machar Ilanus Shia Kalkalapanov. What about the other way around? If you sold the trees, but you said, I'm keeping the character for myself, then that would be Plokta de Rabbi Akiva Rabbanon. Then that would be exactly the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon. Both Rabbi Zvid and Rabbi Papa would agree with that. That Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon would have that machlokas. According to Rabbi Akiva, again, who says Moicha Ba'ayin Yofa Moicha, he says that the Lekeach will own the area of the trees, in the sense, again, that if the trees die, he has the right to plant new ones. He's selling them Ba'ayin Yofa. And according to the Rabbanon, he wouldn't, meaning, in other words, again, that if the trees die, he doesn't have the right to plant new ones. He just keeps the wood, and then he takes
the wood.
He just stole the wood, basically. No. It also means as long as the trees are growing, he has the right to keep them there. But if the trees ever dry up, he doesn't have the right to plant new ones. He doesn't own the actual area. He owns this tree growing in this place. He doesn't own the actual land underneath the tree.
Oh, wait a second. What about the right of way to go there, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Chachamim, for a tree?
So we're saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, Moicha Ba'ayin Yofa Moicha, I guess it would also mean that you stole them right away. And according to the Chachamim, I guess not. Yeah.
Same with a boar.
I guess it would be the same kind of thing as a boar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the only difference is if the tree dies,
that he can't replant it. They can't plant a new one.
According to both, the machlekes is the same. You can't walk there, according to Rabbi Akiva. You can walk.
It would seem so. Now, though, the real question is like this. The Rashbam and Tosfos and all the various other Rishonim deal with the question, what about, we have later on in the fifth parak of our Masechta, we talk about these dinim, about if you sold one tree or two trees versus if you sold three trees. We see over there that you have, one or two trees, you don't have karka, three trees, you have karka. How is that fitting with our Gemara over here? We were saying that's Machlokas Rav Akiva and the Chachamim. So the Rashbam says, you're right, our Gemara over here would have to be talking about you selling only one or two trees, because if it's three trees, even Rabbi Akiva would have to agree that you get karka along with it. Tosfos says that the difference would be over there, that there you didn't say one way or the other, there you're talking about when we say that automatically you get karka is there's only enough karka for the trees, and you specified that you said that I plan to keep the karka. So that would be the case rather. That's the case over here rather. There we're talking about where you have a normal amount of karka. There's some amount that can be reserved for the trees, and there'll be some that you're keeping for yourself. Here we're talking about there's no other karka other than for the trees. So therefore, it gets into the question of are you keeping that karka? What who gets what exactly? And then you have a couple of other explanations among other Rishonim. For example, you have another explanation from Rabbi Avraham Av Beis Din, the father-in-law of the famous Raver. There were three Ravers in Jewish history. There's one who wrote Sefer HaKabbalah. There's the one who's number one. There's the Rabbi Avraham Av Beis Din is number two, and the Raver who argued with the Rambam is number three. This is Rabbi Avraham Av Beis Din, the Raver, the second Raver. He understands it, that the difference is that there we're talking about that you sold one or two or three, as the case may be, trees, and kept the rest of them. Here we're talking about you sold all the trees that are on this property, and therefore that would be the difference. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says that you sell Ba'ayin Yofa, then automatically it means Kauka goes along with the trees, because you sell Ba'ayin Yofa. L'Rabbanon Lesley, and according to the Rabbanon, he wouldn't have. And when we say that Rabbi Akiva Islay, when we say that Rabbi Akiva would hold that you have Kauka along with the trees,
the Rabbanon would agree they cannot.
Would say that you don't.
Fruit.
The Rabbanon would say, as long as they're growing, you can't tell them to uproot, but once they die, then you can. Even according to Rabbi Zvid, who said on Amr Aleph, that if you sell trees to one person and karka to another, the one who owns the trees does not automatically get karka. That only happens when you have two different sellers, two different buyers. Because then the owner of the land can say, just as I have no rights to any part of the trees. Obviously, when I bought the land, it meant no trees. You also, by rights, shouldn't have anything in the karka. Even Rav Zvid's opinion could still work with either Rav Akiva or the Chacham. And we'll continue tomorrow and see how Rav Papa's opinion on Amar Aleph can also work with either Rav Akiva or the Chacham, according to what we just said.